In the book of Psalms, Psalm 145 and the 7th verse, the 145th Psalm, verse 7, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. This is a preparation for heaven. For in heaven it is the voice of praise that is ever paramount. We are told it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. And if that be the occupation of those who inhabit eternal bliss, then you may depend upon it that God will, in his infinite grace, bestow upon his people that wherein they shall daily have matter to praise him. The psalmist, in many occasions, is found in prayer. But you will always find, if you study the Psalms intently, that where he prays, it is eventually turned into the language of praise. God, whoso ordereth the language of the hearts of his people in accordance with his own word and will, so maketh them to know that wherein he doth answer those requests, that he puts in tune every chord of the heart to resound his praise and his glory. And if you are indeed a praying soul, then your prayers will be turned into praise. If the seed of prayer is thus sown, and it germinates under the waterings of his divine goodness, there will be the springing up of that which shall make his praise manifest. All his works, not only in that wherein he is the creator of all things, but in that wherein he worketh within the souls of his people, is ordained unto that end, that man should glorify and praise God. When our Lord was here upon earth, he reminds us very poignantly of that same truth, that he met with 10 lepers, and he told them, in answer to their cry, to go and show themselves unto the priest. Now, there was no entrance for the leper into the presence of the priest, save as the cleansing, the healing has taken place. He doth but go into the presence of the priest that he may be searched, that he may be examined, that his cure may be pronounced. And the Lord who cured those 10 lepers so told them to go to the priest that the testimony might indeed abound to his praise. And nine of them went, but one returned unto the Lord. And he came to the Lord in the conviction of his own cure in the language of praise. And the Lord said, were there not 10 healed? And where are the 9? There had been no recognition in their hearts of God, like as there was in the language of that Samaritan, that stranger who returned thanks unto the Lord. This is what the Lord requires of thee. This is that which is due unto him, that you should abundantly utter the memory of his great goodness and sing of his righteousness. Not only is the very fact of praise brought before us, especially in these last 5 Psalms, but in this Psalm we have one of the alphabetical Psalms. Every verse begins with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And why is this brought before us? It is brought before us 7 times in the Psalm, from the 25th, the 34th, the 37th, and others. Because he declares, I am the Alpha and the Omega. In him there is a fullness of truth. That which he is so recorded in himself and made known unto us in the Word is that wherein praise springs unto him. And when we read this psalm, and one or two others of those of us 7, we do well to have that continually before us. That what we are speaking about and what we are singing about contains within itself the fullness of the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that God hath concerning his people. And that in his word he has made a full provision for all their needs. But this psalm is also a psalm of celebration. It is a psalm of celebration regarding the wisdom, the goodness, and the righteousness of God in his government of the world, and especially in regard unto his government concerning the positions and the cases and the circumstances of his own. He rules and he governs and has the dominion throughout all generations. Whatever may occur in connection with any generation cannot cause any thing to arise which shall, as it were, injure the greatness of the truth, that he reigns and holds the dominion in all things. When you go through the history of mankind, when you go through the history that is contained of Israel and so forth, as it is found in the scriptures, you will find that there is one distinguishable line of truth. That which relates unto all events and all times, and all that relates unto creation, and all that is in regard unto Zion, is all governed and controlled by him. And therefore in the darkest hours there is a matter for praise. And when the clouds are most thick that you cannot discern the brightness, as we have been singing of the sun, But let us remember too that it hides from us the blueness of the skies. Nevertheless, to remember that those very clouds are the means whereby the blessings of that divine government are conveyed unto us, that we may know the wonder and the glory of life beyond and above them. As one realizes at times in nature that wherein the thickness of the cloud seems to be so great, and is made to pause and adore the wonder of the power that so upholdeth that mass of water, that it cannot distribute its contents until that same government sees fit. One is made, as it were, to worship in astonishment at the supreme power that so gathereth up the winds in his fist, that so controlleth the waters that they cannot go beyond his limit. Yes, everything is arranged and ordered in infinite wisdom and government. And this is that wherein this psalm generates, as it were, the language of praise, that he is to be celebrated continually every day, and that wherein his marvelous works are to be discerned. Every returning morn should bring forth praise from our hearts. Every night, in that wherein that there is the magnificence of the firmament revealed to us, which had previously been hidden by the light, now shines forth, reminding us that he telleth the more, he knoweth the more by names, every one of those stars that shineth in the skies. All is upheld. There's no mishap. There's no, as it were, getting out of line. There is that tremendous controlling wisdom that so operateth in its goodness, that in everything that he doeth, his righteousness is made manifest. So as we speak of the glorious honor of his majesty and of his wondrous work, we are reminded that the time is surely coming when men shall indeed speak of the might of thy terrible acts. And it is in that wherein those terrible acts may bespeak the justice of God, in that wherein he dealeth with the wicked, whose way he turneth upside down, that we are to declare his greatness. How inconceivable God is, how incomprehensible unto us. There is no searching out of that which relates unto the mysterious essence. He dwelleth in eternity in the high and lofty place. He dwelleth in the light unto which no man can approach. And yet he dwells in the person of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And even as there is that fullness of wisdom in his Son, even as Proverbs 8 so visibly and manifestedly brings him before us, so there is the working out of the divine will and the purpose of God in all that relates unto this world, and especially unto his people, wherein they shall be called upon to praise and to extol and exhort him. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but whenever you read of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is, yes, not only the likeness, but the very image of God, You find that everything that relates to the creation and to the end of time is gathered up into him. In him there is the dwelling of the fullness of all wisdom and counsel. And you know, to know him is to know God. And to know him in that revelation is to be a possessor of eternal life. But to know him is eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And it is through him that God bestows in his infinite wisdom and goodness all those gifts wherewith he is pleased so to grant unto his people the knowledge of his favor and of his grace, that they may daily resound his praise in their lives. How oftentimes we forget this. How oftentimes, as it were, we cast it behind our back with all our complaints, with all the revoltings and all the rebellions that so go on within the human heart. And yet we forget that all these things are ordered, and that they are all working together for our good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If we know anything of this, we shall know what the psalmist means. For he knew it through that which was so contained in the teaching of the temple. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. You mark the transition here. I will bless thy name forever and ever. If you extol him here, then there will be the calling forth continually from thy heart of those blessings upon his name. And every day will I bless thee. And if I know what it is to bless him for all his wondrous goodness and wisdom and righteousness down here, then I will praise thy name forever and ever. In other words, I shall enter into the realization of it, the reality of the truth of that which is so contained in the scriptures, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, the greatest Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And therefore one generation shall praise thy works to another. And if they're going to praise thy works one to another, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. So you see, it's not only a psalm of celebration, but it's a psalm to a commemoration. It's commemorating what God has done. It's commemorating what he is unto his people. It's commemorating those things which have been known in all their blessed reality by his people. And so, looking at these words, we realize that here we have set before us much cause for praise. The psalmist felt it. The psalmist had had a rough passage through life. The psalmist had known what it was to be brought to an utter dependence upon God and upon the word of promise that had been spoken to him through Jesus Christ. And he knew what it was, having gone down to the depths, what it was to rise up to the heights. You know, the waves of time may indeed take us right down into the depths, but you know, they're bound to rise again, and they carry us aloft. And they that do business in great waters, these see the wonders of the Lord. You know how it all ends up, don't you? All that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now the psalmist here, from his own experience and understanding of the wondrous works of God in his own life, would stir up your heart and my heart, that we may be brought so to look back and to behold that wherein the Lord has been favorable unto us, that wherein his blessings have abounded toward us, that wherein we are indeed debtors unto him for his mercy, for his compassion, for his love, for his grace, that in all things he is worthy of our praise. Oh, he says, I will do it. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So this psalm then incites us unto that spirit of praise, because there's so much to cause for it. And it is in its personal application then that these words belong unto us. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness. Then obviously they have had some knowledge of it. They have participated in it. They have realized the wonder of it. And does it not have some particular application unto your own case? Your needs, they have been made so apparent to yourself. Have you not seen wherein the Lord has made a glorious provision for those needs, even before you asked him to do it? We are told in this psalm of that wherein God worketh in his providence concerning generation. What have we read? The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. What worth the harvest season? No. And why do we have a harvest? Because thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The seasons pass by. They are all necessary unto that wherein the provision is assured unto all those whom the Lord beholdeth. And you know, if there be that which relateth unto famine, if there be that which relateth unto poverty, it is not that wherein man can lay the blame upon the Almighty. The Lord is good to all. The earth in its production so bringeth forth bountifully. And there is a sufficiency for all, if in wisdom there is that arrangement and order of that which relates unto its abundance. But man falls down here, and he fails. But it doesn't take away the truth that is conveyed unto us, that God, in the bountifulness of his mercy and his compassion, has, according to the due season, so provided for every need of man, and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Have you ever thought of the many living things that exist in this world, not only in that which relates unto mankind, but in that which relates to the brute creation and so forth? They've all got their own different appetites, their likings. Some can take this and some can't take that. They all differ, and yet the Lord has provided for each one according to his own need. He satisfies the desire of every living thing. Now, if this is true, then, and it is, concerning that wherein God so provided for mankind, though man is oblivious of the greatness of that God who doth daily remember him in his compassion and in his long-suffering. And notwithstanding all the tumor and the chaos and the rage and the riotous behavior that may so exemplify the fallen state of mankind, he doth not withhold his tender mercies from them, for his tender mercies are over all his works. Yet, how much more so unto us, if we realize that even as he is faithful in that wherein he so doeth these things, for them who are the ungodly of the wicked, how much more so doth he continually remember in his mindfulness the needs of those who are dear and precious unto him, as dear and precious unto him as his own son is unto himself. They shall abundantly utter. Yes, they shall have every cause for it. Shall we just name here three or four things that we must abundantly utter in the presence of the Lord? Think of the innumerable blessings that have been bestowed upon you. It may be in your case the blessing of birth, the blessing of that wherein you have been so placed in life, the blessings that have arisen from that wherein you would have taken your own course, and yet nevertheless the Lord has, as it were, so arranged matters that that which is worked out in your life, not being maybe according to your own mind, nevertheless arises out of an infinite wisdom that seeth the end from the beginning, and in all that which relates unto that which lies between, and all the innumerable blessings of which we know nothing about, that daily come to us, every survival, the drawing of our breath, that wherein he so maintains us through life, the blessings without number. Yet what do? Why, we take it all for granted. We take it as though it is our right, as though it belongs to us. And the psalmist here reminds us that that wherein the goodness of the Lord is so made known unto us should indeed cause us to utter the memory of his goodness, the many mercies that you have been the recipient of, the favors that have been bestowed upon you. When I thought of this, my mind went to the latter part of this psalm. The Lord is nigh unto them, and to all them to call upon him, to call upon him in truth, and so forth. Yes, temporal, providential, but all the wonders of those spiritual favors. My friend, do you deny them? Do you devalue them? Do you belittle them? Or do you really realize the greatness of that fact, that he hath heard thy voice, that he has attended unto your praying? Remember his greatness, his majesty. Remember the unsearchability of it all. and yet amidst all the mystery of the greatness of the eternal being, there is an ear opened in and through Jesus Christ unto your praise. And you can look to certain places and spots this morning and say, the Lord blessed me there. You dare not deny it. The psalmist says in effect that even if you have one or two of these favors granted to you, it should be a matter of incessant praise unto God. The lifting up of thy voice, extolling his name. Yes. And then what about these continued mercies? The mercies that come to us in the course of the day, that are all arranged, that all go before us. We don't know what lies before us in the course of one day. We do not know what demands may be made upon us. But he who controls and orders and governs all things, that wherein he descendeth in his government unto the most minute object in the universe, whether it be an insect or other more minute, he is the one who knoweth all that is before thee. He is the one who has arranged for your day and its need. And he's there to provide. And he endureth his infinite goodness, that wherein you shall be made to perceive the wondrous mercy of God towards you. And you will abundantly utter the memory of his goodness. Yes, you'll abundantly utter the memory of his goodness in the manifold deliverances that you have been made to be the subject of. Think of them. Think of the times when you've got into that hole. Think of the times when you've got into that position wherein you have given up all hope. Think of the times wherein you have, as it were, been so hemmed in that there has been no way of escape, and yet the Lord has come. Oh, yes, it all opened up. Sometimes it's been so evident to some of us that we've had to say it is almost as though we've seen the hand of the Lord. Isn't it? We've seen him do it. And yet here is that same one who cometh down unto the prisoner who is shut up and knows not which way to go or where to turn, and the Lord comes and delivers him. Now, haven't you got some of those deliverances? I can't go into them all. But surely you have those places where you can say, the Lord delivered me. Yes. Then abundantly utter the memory of that goodness. And not only the manifold deliverances that he has been, but in that wherein the manifested help has been given to you. You said, how am I going to get through it? How am I going to cope? What's going to be the end of it all? If the Lord has led you on, you are this morning still upheld, still supported, and wonderfully, as it were, strengthened in your soul by that wherein his word oft times speaks refreshment and food unto it. Yes. Wonderful in his deliverances, and wonderful too in the grace that abounds. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Now you think of what a vile sinner you are. Remember that which is relative to your state by nature is hell-bound. And behold that wherein in his marvelous wonder, working salvation, He came to you and took your feet up out of the pit and out of the miry clay. And where did he set you? He set you upon a rock and he put a song into your mouth, even a praise unto your God. Yet you still feel the workings of that corruption. You still know that sin is in this fallen nature of yours. And I'm going to say it's a good thing you do feel it, because it's there. For what reason? Why, one of the reasons is this, that you may magnify the wondrous grace that has delivered you from it. Yes, delivered you from it. It's there, all right. But it cannot damn. It cannot destroy you. It cannot bring you to naught. Because of that wherein grace so much abounds, in the divine love, in his gracious goodness, in the favors that you have so received, and you have to utter abundantly that which relates to the goodness of the Lord towards you. And then think of the sanctified child. Aren't they a matter for praise? All the trials from which you have extracted so much sweetness, the trials which have been the means whereby he's brought you very near unto himself, the trials that have separated you from yourself and everybody, as it were, and made you to make your confidence in God alone, the heart has been purified and purged thereby. Our faith is a gift. And it's in these trials that it's put to the test. And what a blessed thing it is that faith is the result of that wherein the saving grace of God has operated towards you. And that faith operates on the basis and the ground of the love that he hath toward his own. The Lord loveth the righteous. And so the trials are sanctified. They're not fruitless. And the unfailing love, oh, they shall abundantly unto the memory of thy great goodness. His love never fails. It knows no abatement. You may feel yourself to be a greater sinner than ever. That doesn't alter the cost of his love towards you. You may feel that at times that you are indeed a cast off. That doesn't change the nature of that love which he hath towards you. His love is always the same, and at times you know that you love him. You know that you love him. And he comes to you and says, "Lovest thou me?" And you have to tell him he knows all things and he knows that you love him. Yes, and we love him because he first loved us. Oh, for a heart prepared to sing to God, my Savior and my King, while with his saints I join to sing, my Jesus has done all things well. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. Their heart and their mind shall be in the employment. It is from the experience of life that the memory shall indeed bring forth the utterance. All this is given to you. There's one word that delights me whenever I read it in the Word of God, because I know its power and I know its efficacy. And I don't know where I should have got to if it hadn't been for that word shall. God says they shall. Yes. The matter for praise is given unto them. Everything that constitutes praise unto God is that which is inspired by what he has done for you and in you. Yes. And it is that which gusheth forth. That is the meaning of the word abundant. In the margin, I think you'll find that it is translated boils up. Well, the more you know of his goodness, the more you're going to boil inwardly. And if you boil inwardly, eventually it's going to have the outlet. And in the vent, oh, there will be an abundant outlet. I would that it were so of all of us here this morning, that it might so warm up as it were within our hearts, that we might so be reminded of that wherein the Lord hath done such great things for us, that the little things that we have forgotten and ignored in the past may come to light in our own memories this day and show that wherein the Lord hath been leading and guiding and directing and blessing us, unworthy though we are. You know it will all boil up if you meditate on his works, if you move, if you muse thereupon. Yes, your heart will indite a good matter. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. So a song is given unto them, and the song, well, what is it? It says, they shall sing of thy righteousness. So the song shall be all of him, all about him. Shall find its center in him. And when I come to the book of the Revelation, I find the same point so laid down before me repeatedly, of how that when they worshipped him, when they uttered his worthiness, then they praised to the Lord. And we hear the voice coming out from the midst of the throne, where the Lamb was found. And what did the voice say? Praise the Lord, all ye his people. Oh, may we hearken unto that voice. Sing the song of righteousness, because it's all of him. And it is because of what in his righteousness he hath done for us. And it is in relation to what he will yet do for us. In his gracious and his saving goodness. For your notice in the verse that follows. You have, but I make term over, a sweet explanation of it all. The Lord is gracious, and he's full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy goodness. May the Lord enable us so to meditate, muse upon what he has done for us, that we, even the psalmist, may come into an individual relationship and may say, yea, David, and not only you, but I will extol the name of the Lord, and I will bless his name forever and ever. Amen.